El Paso A to Z taps into the essence of El Paso letter by letter. A for artist Tom Lee's easel, Z for zithers, and every letter in between. Discover the heart, the art, the whimsy, and the energy of El Paso's people, places, and moments in this lighthearted and engaging exhibit. Here to tell us all about it is Ben Fife. How's it going?
Hi.
So last time we were talking about Giant at the Museum of History.
Yeah.
And now it's full on A to Z.
Full on A to Z, actually. So this is a really fun exhibition in that it's really made up primarily of items from the permanent collection. And so a lot of things that have not been out of storage in a very long time will be out on the main floor of the Museum of History. And it's a great way for visitors to El Paso and to the museum to walk in and get a really great sampling of some of the ideas and the people and just concepts that have really been very unique to El Paso.
And logistically, how does that work? I mean, did you literally rummage through the back and say, okay, Steve Krasno's microphone, we have to work this in?
So you're actually, we definitely were thinking about some of the really bold-faced items we have. And exhibitions like this are a great opportunity to really focus on things you might not necessarily have 26 items that really, might revolve around the idea of Steve Krasno, where you could do a giant exhibit just of that.
Right.
But you have one or two things. And so this exhibition is a great way to kind of pull out a lot of greatest hits, los éxitos más grandes of the museum's collection, and also some local collectors who are being really generous with, things that they're loaning. So, one of the things that we're featuring is Rosa Guerrero, who is, obviously local celebrity, local legend, force of nature. And she's loaned some of her dance costumes. And
did you get to go and say, hey, Rosa, can I borrow this one? Or did she pick them? She's like, you will borrow these.
Right. That's exactly what she did. She calls me Mijo, which is always fun.
Oh, but, nice.
But, I think for me, this exhibition's a great way. I think Rosa's a really great example of some of our firsts. We're so used to Rosa Guerrero in this community. We know she's really cool. We love her. She's, obviously the hospitals have used her as a testimonial.
Oh,
everyone's
yeah.
grandma.
Everybody loves her.
But she was really at the forefront, in the 1970s and 80s and really pushing folklorico, a dance form that really, for the most part, was not really paid attention to and not really celebrated, not considered high art. She really pushed that, all the way from the heart of the barrios here in El Paso, all the way to the lawn of the White House.
Right.
And that's cool. I mean, that's so awesome to be able to walk into the museum and see these costumes and learn about this woman and think, wow, that's great. That happened here. And yeah. I get excited about that opportunity, not just for El Pasoans, but for a lot of our visitors, especially during Sun Bowl and, when people are coming for conventions and things like that.
That's exactly right. To paint the full picture. I mean, so we did A for artist Tom Lee, his easel. But then you have Z for zithers.
Yeah, so that's
Z must have been tough.
Z is always a tough one. X is always a tough one.
What is X?
X is actually crossing.
Oh, okay.
Which makes complete sense for where we are. But zithers, it's a musical instrument you don't see a lot of anymore. But it was small and portable, and that was really important historically before the advent of radios and phonographs and, the ways we experience music now. You really depended on things like player pianos, which we have one in the exhibition, or zithers to be able to make music, at home and in your community.
Which is really important.
Absolutely. I mean, music is such a huge part of any culture. But yeah, so we really basically mapped out the alphabet, and we also, incorporated, parts of the Spanish alphabet as well. So the letter Che is Chicano art.
And nice. Who's there?
So we have columns wrapped with murals from the spaghetti bowl.
Oh, so you have a variety.
Yeah, absolutely a variety. And I think it's one of those cool things, again, for a visitor to El Paso to walk in and say, wow, that's neat. And I passed those things maybe coming from the airport, wondered what they were. Now I can learn about that and learn about El Paso's place in the history of Chicano art, which is huge, obviously.
Now, tell us about Pancho Villa's death mask.
Yeah, so that's actually a very cool item that we have in storage that is coming out. Death masks were really a phenomenon that I think sort of started waning in the 20th century, where oftentimes people would make casts of the recently deceased person's face. And so, for example, I think the American equivalent of the most famous one probably is Abraham Lincoln's death masks.
Yeah.
But it was a way to preserve that person and their memory. And I think here in the border region, I always think of Pancho Villa sort of as our equivalent to George Washington on the East Coast, or at least in New England, where everyone's got a story of George Washington stayed here, or, you know,
Pancho Villa lived here. Yeah. He had a meeting here.
He had water here. He shot some stuff up here, you know. Yeah. So yes. I think it's really cool to be able to talk about that. And that becomes a way for us to talk about El Paso's role in the Mexican Revolution and how huge the Mexican Revolution is. I mean, it's the first really social struggle, you know, huge movement of the 20th century, really defining part of the 20th century. And El Paso had a big role in that. And that's really cool to be able to talk about and celebrate and for people to learn about.
Was that the author, David Romo, who did the book?
Ringside Seat to a Revolution, yeah.
Yes, and kind of reading there about how people would sit on the rooftops in El Paso and watch the revolution as if it were, you know, an action movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's like going to a game, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, there was this idea of El Paso being a vantage point and a safe spot. It was a place for people to come and cool off,
right?
You know, like Pancho Villa oftentimes, or, you know, get his ice cream, you know, at the
Elite
Confectionery.
Cool off.
Yeah, downtown. But yeah, no, I mean, the Mexican Revolution was huge for El Paso and obviously for Juarez and also in the history of social struggles in the world, really, really big. And so the idea of this exhibition is really to be able to take a lot of those items out of their cases, out of the shelves, out of the storage facility, and really bring them out. And I think people are going to get really excited to learn about all the things that we have at the museum. You know, there's over 8,500 artifacts in storage. And so there's all sorts of stuff that people have never seen or experienced or potentially might have seen once years and years ago or heard that maybe it might be there. And so it's exciting for me. And there were also some things that we found that we hadn't seen in a long time. There were things I did not know that we even had at the museum. And so it's going to be really fun. I'm excited about this exhibit being up for 6 months.
So we talk about the revolution, but then there was a whole prohibition thing.
Yes.
And that was also a big movement for our border.
Yeah. You know, I think like a lot of border towns, El Paso has really benefited and had a lot of notoriety, good and bad, for the proximity to Juarez and the idea that laws are different there. And so during Prohibition, you can't drink here anymore. So you walk 5 blocks over and you walk into a bar and guess what? It's good. You know, I think the same thing for divorces.
Oh,
you know,
that's right.
Yeah, El Paso was sort of a divorce capital for a long time. But yeah, so we do talk about, for the letter S, smuggling. And a lot of those items are things like alcohol during Prohibition. Other things as well,
I'm
too.
Sure. It is a border.
But yeah, no, crossing, you know, the letter X for crossing and a 1920s crossing card is really a very cool way to think about the fact that that line, which feels so arbitrary sometimes, is also really huge and has really defined who we are and obviously who our other part of our community in Juarez, who they are, for generations and for centuries and probably for centuries to come.
So what does the crossing card look like? Or what was its function?
Its function was really to allow you to be able to cross back and forth.
Go freely.
Sure. So if you lived within about a 40-mile radius of the border, you needed to have one of these so that you were able to move back and forth with ease. I guess ease being a very relative term. But, you know, I think obviously you get a sense, too, that the idea of a controlled border is not something that is at all new here in this community.
Right.
You know, I think when I look back and hear stories about my grandparents or great-grandparents moving back and forth from Juarez, it sounds so much easier than it is today. But to see that crossing card, you realize it's always had
there's
a lot
always
of...
There's always been some process
Yeah, there's always bureaucracy around that and legalities around that. So it's cool.
I remember you saying that my grandmother owned a dress shop and my mom would have to run over the bridge to get, you know, zippers or whatever and then come back. And it's just how it happened, maybe multiple times a day.
And yeah. Yeah. And I think you don't even think about it. And I think when people come to this community, it's so interesting. The fact that, you know, someone like your mom is actually basically traveled across an international border between two countries 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day for something really mundane like zippers.
Right. You know? Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, no. And then you've got like other things that I think, you know, visitors to this community might be more familiar with. So, you know, we have Don Haskins, the taxidermied bear.
Oh, the infamous bear.
The infamous bear.
Was that a loan item from Joe Gomez, perhaps?
Actually, that is, I believe, part of the permanent collection.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so that's cool because obviously we can talk about Don Haskins' legacy and UTEP's role in the world of sports and integration. And you talk about the fact like, hey, this was so big, Disney made a movie about it. And so,
and there's a taxidermy bear.
Yeah, there's just this giant taxidermy bear. But yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a really fun way to experience local history. And the colors in the galleries are great. We pulled colors from the Papel Picado public art pieces around the museum. And so you walk in there and it looks really bright and lively, kind of like a mercado.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's the best metaphor for El Paso and our history and our culture.
And you were talking about our visitors from the Sun Bowl, and there's also a section there about the Sun Queens.
Yes.
Who are very popular to this day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a big part of the Sun Bowl tradition and heritage. And so there is a Sun Queen gown. There are several gowns actually in the permanent collection. But I think it's a great, you know, another idea of you start seeing these things out and you start thinking about, wow, there's history all around us, and this museum becomes a repository for things like dresses and, you know, 17th century trunks and death masks and
Steve Krasno's
microphone.
Hello.
All sorts of crazy cool things, and all of those help create a picture of who we are and where we've been and where we're going.
So on that note, I'd like to thank you for coming down. Today, my guest has been Ben Fife, and we've been talking about the El Paso A to Z exhibit that will be up for 6 months at the El Paso Museum of History.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.